Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Yud Zayin. We are holding on the top of daf Yud Zayin Amar Alef Ella Amar Rav Yosef, top line of the page. Today's shiur sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lina Nishmas' mother, Goldava Simcha, Allah Shalom, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. It is also sponsored by Daniel and Etty Hirschberg in honor of their new granddaughter, Ruth Bastov. They should be Zocha, and Dovi and Alana should be Zocha, Legadlo, the Torah, Leben Torah, Lechupa, Ula Maisim Tovim. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. First of all, we're going to talk about, we already started the discussion on what it means when the Mishnah says that Hakol Shochtin and Li'olam Shochtin. So Hakol Shochtin, we said, okay, that's easy. That means that you even shecht a bird, even though the Torah never tells us that you shecht a bird. But what does Li'olam Shochtin mean? So yesterday we learned the Shita of Rabbah, that it means even Basar Taiva you're allowed to shecht. And today we're going to learn the Shita of Rav Yosef, that it means something to do with Basar Nechira. And we're going to have four rayas who's correct in that machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Then the Gemara is going to raise the question, when we entered Eretz Yisrael, were we allowed to eat the leftover Basar Nechira? If you hold that we were allowed to eat Basar Nechira in the Midbar, Basar Nechira is Basar didn't have a proper Shita. Therefore, if you hold that we were allowed to eat that in the Midbar, what about all the, you know, our refrigerator full of stuff when we came into Eretz Yisrael? Could we continue to eat that basar nechira? Then the Gemara is going to have a second approach to the entire Mishnah, to hakol shochtin, bakol shochtin, the olam shochtin, to all of that. And it's going to say, no, it's, none of it is about the nishchat. It is all about the shochet. And then we're going to discuss, that's the first topic of the daf, essentially, is what the olam shochtin, bakol shochtin, hakol, right, all of that. Then we're going to discuss, second topic of the daf is pigimos in a knife. We're going to talk about what types of pigimos are problematic. The Gemara is going to identify, Rav is going to identify three types of pigimos. One that is going to pasul l'shchita, one that's l'chadchila you're not supposed to do, and one that even l'chadchila is okay. We're going to talk about the requirement to be bodek for pigimos, and we're going to talk about the method of being bodek for pigimos. We'll see if we're able to get to all of that. So let us begin. Again, we are on the top line of the page, on daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So Rabbi had said that what do we mean when we say li'olam shochtin, that even though basar taiva was asr for us in the midbar, that whenever we wanted to eat meat, we had to just go bring a korban in the mishkan, and then we could eat that meat, but basar taiva was asr, and it was hutar when we came into Eretz Yisrael. So I might have thought that once we're in galus, it becomes asr again. So kamash milan, li'olam shochtin, you're always allowed to have basar taiva. So Rav Yosef says, I got two problems with that. First of all, then the ikur is not really about shochtin, it's about ochlin. It's about the fact that you're allowed to eat the basar taiva. It's not a din in shchita, it's a din in achila. And second of all, why on earth would I have had a havamina that when we go into galus, you're not allowed to eat basar taiva? It doesn't make any sense. The whole reason you weren't allowed to eat basar taiva before we got into Eretz Yisrael is because we had such easy access to the Mishkan. Yesterday's parsha, we were all encamped right around the Mishkan. So why would you go have basar taiva if you have a mitzvah out of it? When we came into Eretz Yisrael, the access wasn't the same. Some people live far away from the Beis HaMikdash. And now without a Beis HaMikdash, we really don't have any access. So of course it's going to be mutter to eat basar taiva. So Ella Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says that in fact the phrase the olam shochtin is Rabbi Akiva. It's following the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Titania, because the Brisa darshins the pasuk ki yirchak mimcha makom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha lasum shemo sham v'zavachta mibkorcho mitzoncha. So Rabbi Akiva Omer lo ba kosov el leselen basar nechira. That what the Torah is teaching us is that if you didn't shecht an animal properly, rather you did nechira, which two days in Rashi, one over here, one elsewhere, that they would cut it from the nostril all the way down to the chest. That's how they'd cut open the animal. That is not a valid shechita, or some other form of invalid shechita, where they'd stab it, they'd poke it, they would do something other than a slicing motion across the shnei simanim. So if they had that, shebetchila, before they entered Eretz Yisrael, hutala and basar nechira. They were allowed to have basar nechira. Mishen nichnas l'aretz nesel and basar nechira. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, basar nechira became aser. So the achshav shegalus, our Mishnah is telling us, now that we're back in galus, yachol yachzu le'ater and arishon, I might think that we're once again permitted to have basar nechira. L'kach shanin li'olam shochtin. That's why it says li'olam shochtin, that after we enter Eretz Yisrael, we still, from then on, for for the rest of human history, we're obligated in doing shechita. We, even after we go into galus, we still have to do shechita. We don't go back to the heter of basar nechira. So says Mar b'may kamiflgi. What is the nukuda samachlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva savar basar taiva lo itzar. Klal, Rabbi Akiva says, there never was an Isra of eating Basar Taiva. Before we entered Eretz Yisrael, when we were in the Midbar, we were permitted to eat Basar Taiva, and therefore that cannot have been the Havamina of what changed. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Basar Nechira, Lo Ishtari Klal, that it was never permitted to us to eat, for us to eat Basar Nechira. Even in the Midbar, we had a din of Shechita from the day of Kabbalah Satorah. We had a din of Shechita, that there was no heter called Basar Nechira. So says Mar, okay, let's see who's right. So the Gemara is going to have four rayas. So Bishlam the Rabbi Yishmael, Hainu d'chsev, I understand why the Torah says v'shachat es ben abakar, that we had the mitzvah of shechita even before we entered Eretz Yisrael. So I get why at the beginning of Vayikra we're told about shechita el Rabbi Akiva, my v'shachat, but according to Rabbi Akiva there was no mitzvah of shechita before we entered Eretz Yisrael. So what's the v'shachat that we're being told in Parshas Vayikra? So says Gemara, no, kachim shiny. We did have a din of shechita. Shechita's kachim. When it came to Chulin, you were allowed to eat Basar Taiva, and when you ate Basar Taiva, you could do Nechira. You didn't have to do Shechita. You were allowed to kill it in other ways. So that's what Rabbi Akiva Shechita was. It's not that there was no din called Shechita. If you wanted to bring a Karban, you always had to do Shechita. The Rabbi Akiva's Chiddush is that you could do Nechira if you're not interested in bringing Karban, if you just want to have Basar Taiva while we were in the Midbar. So it says Maris, Raya number two. Bishlam the Rabbi Shmuel Hainu Dechsev Hatzonu Bakar Yishachet Lahem. So because in the Midbar we were Mitzuvin Shechita as well. So it says Sonu Bakar Yishachet Lahem El Rabbi Akiva May Hatzonu Bakar Yishachet Lahem. According to Rabbi Akiva, there was no din of Shechita of Basar Taiva in the Midbar. It should have said Yinachar Lemi Bayalei. The phrase should have been, because over here it's Lahem. It's something that's for you. It's not. We're not talking about Kachim over here. We're talking about the Asafsu from when Bnei Yisrael were complained about the man and they wanted basar, and Hashem got angry at them. So in that context, we're talking about shechting animals that they were able to eat for basar taiva. So even according to Rabbi Shmuel, that basar taiva was not mutter for them, and they wanted basar. They could have eaten it by being makar of a carbon shlamin. But the point over here is yinachalami bayilei. It should have said Yinachalem. So says Gemara, Nechira shalahen zoi shchitasen. When it says that their Nechira was the shchita, meaning when the Torah says that let them do a shchita, the Torah meant whatever would qualify as a shchita for that time, which would be shchita or Nechira, meaning they had that option. According to Rabbi Akiva, it could have been Nechira as well. So you don't have to use the word Nechira. The word shchita is a more generic terminology of killing an animal in a way that you're then allowed to eat it. So then the Gemara says, third raya, Bishlam of the Rabbi Shmuel, Hainu Ditnan, Hashokhit v'nisnav v'bliyado. I understand that we're going to have a Mishnah on Daf Pehe that if a person shechts a chaya and it becomes a nevela while he's shechting it, he didn't shecht it properly. There was a pegam in the knife or something like that, or there was some other, you know, he pushed down too hard on the knife instead of slicing or something like that. V'anocher, or he does a nechira, v'ama'aker, or he's oker the simanim, and he doesn't shecht it properly. Patur milchasach. So even though he killed the chaya, he doesn't have to do kisui adam. Normally, a chaya va'of requires kisui adam. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, he said very well, since it requires a proper shechita, nechira is not a proper shechita. So therefore, he did an improper shechita, and that's why it doesn't require kisui adam. El Rabbi Akiva, my patur milchasach. But according to Rabbi Akiva, why if he's nocher is he patur milchasach? The mitzvah of kisui adam was given to us in the Midbar. So at the time the mitzvah of kisui adam was given to us, we had the option of nechira. So apparently the mitzvah of kisui adam applies to nechira as well. So even bisman hazeh, when we do nechira, granted we may not be allowed to eat it anymore, but we should still be chayiv in kisui adam, because the mitzvah of kisui adam applied to nechira when we got that mitzvah. So it says, no, hol the itzar. Once we came into Eretz Yisrael and nechira became aser, so then it didn't qualify as something that that's a valid form of killing an animal, which would then require kisei adam. Meaning the two dinim change at the same time. That the din of kisei adam is that when you kill a chayav va'of in a way that you're allowed to eat it, then you have a mitzvah of kisei adam. In the midbar, that would mean you kill it even with a nechira. Once we came into Eretz Yisrael, and the nechira was no longer an option. So now the mitzvah of kisei adam is still when you kill an animal in a way that you're allowed to eat it. But nechira is now not such a way. And therefore you're a pater from kisei adam in such a case. So says Gemara Raya number 4, in the other direction. Bishlam, the Rabbi Akiva, I understand according to Rabbi Akiva, Damar Basar Taiva lo etzer klal, who says that Basar Taiva was never usher, even in the midbar we were allowed to eat Basar Taiva. Haynu d'chsiv, ach kasher ye that the Pasuk is telling us that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, even though we have to shecht bakar and so on, like we did, like we shechted kachim prior to entering Eretz Yisrael, but we have to eat it b'tahara, we don't have to eat it b'tahara, rather, like we ate kachim. You could eat it even b'tumah, like a tzvi and an ayil. So we're saying, what the Torah is telling us is, you know how you've been eating a tzvi and an ayil up until this point? And you know that you didn't have to be careful to be tahar while eating it, because it wasn't kachim? You can continue to eat a tzvi v'ayil and really anything in Eretz Yisrael, even in a state of tumah, as long as it's not a carbon. So I understand that the assumption is that we were eating tzvi v'ayil in the midbar. We were eating basar taiva in the midbar. El Rabbi Shmuel, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, tzvi v'ayil gufei mi'avishari. What are you talking about? We didn't eat tzvi v'ayil in the midbar, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because it wasn't a carbon. You cannot bring a chaya as a carbon. So the only way the tzvi v'ayil is basar taiva, but when there was no basar taiva was not mutter in the midbar according to Rabbi Shmuel. So says Gemara, no, kiyas rachmana behema dechazil akrava, aval chaya to lo chazil akrava lo asar rachmana. When the Torah says that you were not allowed to eat basar taiva in Rabbi Shmuel's opinion in the midbar, that was only on a behema, because if you wanted a behema, you could have just brought it as a carbon, made a mitzvah out of it. So why are you going to have it as basar taiva? But a chaya where you don't have the option of bringing it as a korban, so then you were allowed to have that as basar taiva. So even Rabbi Shmuel, when he says that basar taiva was asr in the midbar, he means basar behema as basar taiva. But you were allowed to eat basar chaya as basar taiva because you had no other option of how to eat basar chaya, and therefore that was permissible. So now the Gemara raises the question by Rabbi Yirmiya. Let's assume, like Rabbi Akiva, that basar nechira was mutter in the midbar. That while they were in the midbar, if you were nocher, you slice the animal down from its nostrils down to its chest, and that's how you kill it, and there you were allowed to eat it in the midbar, and then we came into Eretz Yisrael, and that stopped. Then it became aser. So, by Rabbi Yirmiya, evare baser nechira sheichnisi Yisrael liman laaretz mahu. What's the din about the leftover baser nechira that we had from the midbar times once we came into Eretz Yisrael? Do we say that since at the time that I killed the animal, this baser was mutter, so it's already packaged with a big OU on it, and chasidish and nechira, and whatever, it's already, so everyone knows it's already good, and therefore you can't now make it aser? Or do we say, no, it's a mutter in the midbar, it's not mutter when you go into Eretz Yisrael? Parenthetically, Aaron Hirsch showed me that Rav Zilberstein has in his sefer, a good daf yomi coincidence, he raises the following question. Mishabura very famously asks, why is it that there's a minhag to eat milchigs on Shavuos? So Mishabura quotes that the reason is that, not like what the Ramah says, that the reason is that after Kabbalah Satorah, there were so many dinim that we had about how to eat proper fleshings. You have to learn all the dinim of Shechita and Melicha and everything else. We couldn't prepare it in time, so we had to have milchigs. He says, wait a second, if you hold it from Yekiva, the Basar Nechira was mutter in the midbar, that should not have been an issue. Just murder the animal and eat it, right? We didn't have all these. It's a strong question. So he has a number of different approaches. The simplest approach is that's Ali bin Rabbi Shmuel, meaning if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, the Basar Nechira was never mutter in the midbar. So that would be, or you could say that at the time of, that he has a few answers there where he goes with, at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, for whatever reason, Basar Nechira was not mutter. That it had it was like a shtick Eretz Yisrael, it had some sort of status of whatever it might be. But that's a strong kasha. But anyway, so the Gemara raises this question. The Basar Nechira that you had as leftovers when you were in the midbar, are you allowed to eat that when you came into Eretz Yisrael? So says Gemara, Emas, when exactly are we talking about? Ile Bema b'sheva shekivshu. If you're going to talk about during the 7 years of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, we had 7 years of Kibush, 7 years of Chiluk. The Navi says explicitly that there were 7 years of Kibush, and we have a tradition that there were also 7 years of Chiluk. So Hashla Dover Tami Ishtari Lu. Well, during the time of Kibush of Eretz Yisrael, you were allowed to eat Dover Tami. You were allowed to eat non-kosher food, meaning non-kosher animals. Because the Pasuk says that Bat Mleim Kol Tov, that the rest of the Pasuk is Vayi Ki Ve'acha Hashem Elokecha La'art, is at Los Yitzchar M'gdolos. You can have all these big cities. Bat Mleim Kol Tov Asher Lomi Leisa and Ve'achalto V'Savata, and eat whatever you find. From Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Rav, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Rav says, when it says Ve'achalto V'Savata, that you should eat whatever it is that you find in these houses, Kasli de Chaziri, we're talking about pig meat. Basar Nechira Mibai? So if you're allowed to eat pig meat, you can tell me the Basar Nechira is a Shaila? So obviously, if you're allowed to eat a Behema Temeya, you're allowed to eat the Basar Nechira, which at the time that you did the Nechira was perfectly kosher. So Elo Liachar Mikan. So must be talking about not during the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael, that but after the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael, if we still had Basar Nechira, so that we had from the Midbar, and somehow we managed to preserve it. I don't know, they made a beef jerky out of it or something, so they managed to preserve it. They didn't have freezers, so they managed to preserve it for all that time. So 7 years later, were they now allowed to eat that basar nechira? I don't know if beef jerky's last 7 years or not, but I'll probably get emails. Yisema, or another possibility is liola b'sheva shekivshu. No, we're talking about during the sheva shekivshu. Ki ishtari lu shol shalov dichavim didhu lo ishtari. Yes, we were allowed to eat non-kosher food. That's the spoils of war, that which we found from the Avdei Kochavim when we conquered the land. But we weren't allowed to eat our own non-kosher food, so that's the Shaila. What about Basar Nechira that we had from the Midbar? So the Gemara leaves that question unresolved. So Amar Rabba, Shanisa Hakol Shochtin, Liolam Shochtin. You did a great job answering the two phrases in the Mishnah, that Hakol Shochtin means that you shecht even birds, right? That was a very short discussion. And what Liolam Shochtin means, that we had this machlokas, what Liolam Shochtin means, whether it means Basar Taiva is mutter for us, and that Basar Nechira is us, or that it means Basar Nechira is usr for us. But Bakol Shochtin, my Mishanislay, how did you explain the phrase Bakol Shochtin? Maybe you're going to say, oh, you know what Bakol Shochtim means? It means Bein Bitzor, Bein Bizchuchis, Bein Bekrum Shalkana, that any sharp implement that has a smooth, sharp edge to it, you're allowed to use to do Shechita. It could be a sharp piece of glass, it could be a sharp reed. Hadum Yudahalach Chatani, but wait. Bakol Shochtin is mentioned in the same breath as Hakol Shochtin and Liolam Shochtin. So I Hanach B'Shochtin, if Hakol Shochtin and Liolam Shochtin are talking about the Shochtim, Hainami B'Shochtin, then it makes sense that this will also be about the Shochtim. V'Hanach B'Nishchotin, but if you're going to say that the Mishnah is not talking about the Shochtim, it's talking about the Nishchotim, meaning the animals that are being Shechted, well, Hainami B'Nishchotin, then this din of the Mishnah should also be about the animals that are being shechted, and therefore Bakol Shochtin can't be about what utensil you use to do the Shechita. It should be a din in the animal, right? Meaning if Hakol Shochtin meant even an oaf, so that's about what's being shechted. So Bakol Shochtin should also be about what's being shechted and not about that which does the Shechita. So Elam Rava, Rava says an entirely different approach, that we need everything, all three phrases, to be about the Shochet and not the nishchat, to be about the maisa shchita and not that the cheftza, that the animal that is being shechted. Hakol Shochtin, when it says Hakol Shochtin, so it says it twice, Chadol Asuye Kuti v'Chadol Asuye Yisrael Mumar. One is to tell me that a Kuti is kosher to do the Shechita as long as he's willing to eat from it himself, because he's not careful about living Iver, so as long as he's willing to eat from it himself, like we said at the beginning of the Masechta. And the other is to tell me that a Yisrael Mumar is allowed to do the Shechita as long as your bodek is his knife beforehand. Liolam Shochtin, the phrase Liolam Shochtin means Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, you can shech during the daytime, you can shech at nighttime. Again, as we learned previously, at nighttime you got to have lighting, so you need to have Navuka. Bein Barosh Hagag, that you can shech to Rosh Hagag, and we're not afraid that people are going to say that you went to shech on the Gag because you're shechting Lavodazara to the Tzva Shemaim. Bein Barosh Hasvina, and you can shecht on the type on top of a boat, and we don't say that even though you're not allowed to shecht l'toch hayam, because people might say that you're shechting l'saro shel yam to an avod zar of the sar shel yam, but rosh hasfina is mutter, because when you shecht, it's obvious that when you're shechting and you're letting the blood go l'toch hayam, it's just because you don't want to dirty up the boat. Bakol shochtin is ben betzor, ben bezchuchas, ben mekrum shalkana. That's about all the different kelim. So none of it is about the nishchat, not the hakol, not the liolam, not the bakol. None of it is about the nishchat, and therefore Rava says the Mishnah is perfectly consistent. So adkan the first half of the daf. So now the Gemara shifts its attention to the din of pegimos on a knife. So chutz mimagel katzir v'magera. The Mishnah said you could shecht with just about anything, but you're not allowed to use a magel katzir and a magera, but other and other knives that have pegimos. And the reason is because it doesn't really slice; it's chonik. It sort of chokes and squeezes the animal's simanim. So it tears into the simanim, doesn't slice them properly. So Gemara is going to discuss what types of pegimos will cause a tearing of the simanim, and which types of pegimos are not going to cause a tearing of the simanim. So Avuah de Shmuel, Pagam Meshadar, Pagam Meshadar. The father of Shmuel wanted to learn which pegima asers and which doesn't aser, so he made a lot of different types of pegimos and knife that are different from one another, and he kept sending it to the Chachamim to ask, what's the din of this type of pegima, what's the din of that type of pegima? He kept on nicking the knife on purpose in different ways to be able to know what pegima is good, what pegima is bad. So he did it a few times. So Sholchulei, they finally sent back to him, you know what, you don't need us to paskin every single pegima. Let's just give you the klalim, and based on these klalim, you'll be able to paskin. Remember, just recently, I had someone sent Rav Asher Weiss a shayla that I had but they had asked me the shayla first. I said, you got to go to Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher called me and he said, here's the klalim, now you paskin. You know, this is the klal of how I would paskin. I'm not paskining it, you deal with it. So that's something Gedolim did, apparently, that they'd say, here's the klalim, now you have to deal with it. So kimagira shaninu, it says in our Mishnah, like a magira, meaning a knife that has pegimos, a pasul shchita, if it's like a saw that that there are two edges to the pegima, so when you run your fingernail from one end of the knife to the other, it will catch on the edge, and when you run in the other direction, it will also catch on the edge. Tan rabbanan sakin sheish ba pegimos harbe. If the knife has a lot of pegimos, tidon kimagera. We treat it like a magera. We treat it as if it's a saw that has pegimos in both directions. V'shein ba el pegima achas. If it only has one pegima, then ogeres psula mesuchseches ksheira. If it's ogeres, it's pasul. If it's mesuchseches, it's kosher. Okay, hechidamya ogeres, hechidamya mesuchseches. What do those mean? So Amar Blazer, ogeres mishte ruchos. Ogeres means that there are two edges to the pegima, that both sides have a pegima. So when you run your fingernail along in either direction, it will catch. Mesuchseches is miruachachas, that the pegima is only from one side, and the other side would be smooth. So when the basar enters into the pegima, it's not going to really get caught there. It's going to be able to come out, and you'll be able to continue in the shechita, but the basar will be mesachsech with the knife. So that's the I'm sure there are pictures in the various art school have a picture over there. No, okay. Newer art schools have a picture. Okay, maybe yeah. All right. So ma'ishlam ishtei ruchos de morsha kama machlish morsha basra baza. Why is it that a pegima that's ogeres has has two edges to it is pasul? The reason must be because the first pegima will weaken the skin of the animal and the flesh of the animal, and therefore when the simanim go through the next time around, it's going to tear right through. The pegima is going to tear right through. Well, miruachachasnami chorfa de sakina machlish mor shabaza. Well, even if you have a pegima just in one direction, the sharpness of the knife will cut through the will soften the skin and the basar, and then when you get to the pegima, it will rip open the animal simanim. So answers Gemara dekai aresha de sakina. No, we're talking about where the pegima is all the way at the beginning of the knife, so there was nothing to weaken it in advance, and therefore it's just the pegima that's going to weaken it, and then by the time you get to the slicing, it's going to slice cleanly. So ki azla machlish ki baza. No, but the shechit is done in a slicing motion in both directions. So shouldn't you be concerned that in one direction you're going to be machlishit, and in the other direction you're going to be trefing it up? So says Gemara, kon shaholich v'lo hevi. We're talking about where you did a shechita in only one direction. Meaning, yes, we generally slice in both directions with the shechita, but if the knife is long enough, which is twice the size of the animal's neck, the length of the knife is twice the width of the animal's neck, you don't need to go in both directions. You could just slice in one direction, and that will be the entire shechita. So if the pegima is at the end of the knife, and it's only one-sided pegima, and you're only going in one direction, that's going to be mutter. Amar Rava, sholosh midos pesakin. There are three types of pegimos that we have by a sakin. Ogeres, lo yishchot. If it's ogeres, if it sort of like gathers the meat and the flesh inside of that pegima, then you can't shecht with it. But and not only that, v'mshachat shechitas psula. And if you did, the shechita is going to be puzzle. Misuch seches, if it has a pegima that's only a one-sided pegima, and therefore meikra adin, if you're molich without being mevi, if you only go in one direction, the shechita would be kosher. So liyishcha balich archila, we still don't recommend using a knife with such a pegima, but v'mshachat shechitas ksheira. But if you shechted and you were careful to only slice in one direction, then the shechita is going to be kosher. Olav yored b'sakin. If you have a knife that has pegima and the whole knife is, I'm sorry, that doesn't have any pegima and the whole knife is smooth, but there once was a pegima in the knife and you sharpened it out, you smoothed it out, but because you smoothed it out, it's now a curved blade, meaning it used to be a straight blade with a pegima. So how did you fix it? By making it a curved blade, so you knocked out the pegima. So if you have so shochet b'lecharchila, that you're even allowed to do. That's not called a pegima in the knife. So you told us in the name of Rava, Mesuch Seches Psula, that a Mesuch Seches is going to be possible even by the Eved. But doesn't the Brisa say Mesuch Seches Ksheira, that if it's only a one-edged pegima, it's going to be kosher? So lo kasha, kan sholuch vevi, kan sholuch below heavy. Like we said before, if you slice in one direction, then a one-edged pegima is not going to be a problem. But if you slice in two directions, then the one-edged pegima is yes going to be a problem. What if it's like a part of the stalk of a, it's similar to the stalk of a grain where it's not smooth but it doesn't have any pegima? So he said, you know what? If anyone gave me a knife, a meat from that was shechted with a knife like that, I'd be happy to eat it. Meaning it's mutar lechachila with such a knife, and you don't have to worry about it. Whatsoever. So now we move on to the din of the bedika of the knife. So Amar Rav Chisda, minayin lebedika sakin min haTorah. How do I know that there's a din of checking the knife min haTorah? The Rav Yah discusses why is it that there's no bracha on the mitzvah of bedika sakin. So he says, yeah, because there's a bracha on the shechita. The bracha on the shechita is a bracha on the bedika sakin as well, because the psul of a sakin peguma is that it would ruin the shechita. So without a bedika, you wouldn't be allowed to be mevarich on the shechita, because if it would turn out that it killed the animal in the wrong type of way, it would turn out to be a bracha levatala. So then he says, maybe we have to be choshish that after you're bodik the sakin, you'll change your mind and you're not going to shech, so it will turn out to be a bracha levatala. And then he says that we don't make a bracha on bedikas sakin because it's not really the gemar hamitzvah. The bedikas the tzorach the shechita, and you don't, just like you don't make a bracha on building a sukkah or on tying tzitzis or on writing tefillin, because it's not the gemar hamitzvah, but meaning the question of the Rav Yah strongly implies that we take bedikas sakin very, meaning it's the kind of thing that would require, it needs a teretz why it doesn't require a birchas mitzvah. Meaning it's a real din that you got to do a bedikas sakin. So Gemara says, minayin lebedikas sakin, where do we find this chiv of bedikas sakin min haTorah? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, interesting, a pasuk in Navi, that after the victory over the Plishtim, and Shaul was mashpia the people that they shouldn't eat the rest of the day, so everyone was tired in the evening from the war, and they were hungry from fasting the whole day, so they shechted and they ate shalo kedin, and the pasuk says that Shaul told to send people out to gather, you know, to spread out among the people and to announce hagishu elai ish shoro v'ish sayehu Ushchatetam bazeh va'achaltam. So from the fact that Shaul said to shecht dafka bazeh, he meant with this knife that I'm giving you, because you're not allowed to shecht with the knife that is not pre-checked. And therefore, everyone was only allowed to shecht with a Shaul-authorized knife. So that's how you learn the din of bedika sakin. So says Gemara, pshita, kivin tchinak of trefa, by a bedika. So well, isn't it obvious that you need a bedika sakin? There's a din, you're not allowed to begima in the knife. So obviously you've got to be bodik the knife for a begima, because otherwise you have to worry that the animal is going to be a trefa. So says Gemara, l'chacham kamrina. No, the chiddush of Rav Chista is that it's dafka got to be a chacham. Meaning, you need a chacham. You don't need a chacham to certify all the food that you cook in your kitchen. You don't need a chacham to certify your lulav and your esrog and your sukkah and your you just do it. You know the dinim and be suited and you take care of it. So vam Rav Yochanan lo amru laharu sakan lechacham elam nei kvodo shel chacham. But wait, how can you tell me that that's a din that we derive from the divrei neviim? I thought that it's only the kvodo shel chacham. It's a derech eretz. It's not a real din. So says Mary, yeah, midrabban v'kras machta bi'almahu. You're right. It's only a takana midrabbanan out of derech eretz. The pasuk is only an asmachta bi'alma that you need a bedikas chacham on the sakin. B'marava batki lo b'shimsha. In Eretz Yisrael, they would be bodik the sakin by the sunlight to see if it has a pegima. Meaning they would hold it up to the sun to see if the sun shines through with a little pegima. You'd be able to see it. B'narda batki lo b'maya. In Arda, they would run some water along the edge of the knife and see if it just runs down smoothly or if it jumps at any point, right? So if that droplet of water jumps, then you know that there is a begima in the knife. Rav Sheshes badek la bereish lishnei, he would be bodek the sakin, a little risky, the tip of his tongue. He'd run it along the edge of his tongue to see if he, because the tongue is sensitive, will pick up a begima. Rav Acha bar Yaakov badek la bechut hasara, he would take a hair, less risky, and run it across the edge of the knife to see if the hair would get caught in anything. Besura amri bisra achla bisra livdika. In Surah they would say, well, you want to shecht basar with the knife, so therefore you need to run it across something that is fleshy in order to be bodik the knife. So it could be the tongue, it could be your thumb, you know, some part of the part of the hand over here, some part of the hand that's fleshy. So amra papa tzricha bedika abisra va'aturfa va'atre giaste, that you need to do bedika by running it over your finger, and atufra by running it over your fingernail as well, and you need to do it on both sides of the knife. So amale ravin ravashi amale ravsama braid rav mishashi mishmach da amit le mishmei de rava, that you said in the name of rava that tzricha bedika abisra, that you need to run it over the basar of your etzba va atufra as well as on your fingernail va tlasa ruchasa, and on three sides of the on three parts of the knife, that on the two sides of the knife and on the sharp edge of the knife. So amalei abisra v'atufra amri. Look, the fact that you need to run it along your basar and you need to run it along your fingernail in order to try to catch a pegima, that I actually said. Lo amri. But I don't know where you got this, that I said that you need to check three parts of the knife, this side, that side, the edge. Amri. Others say that he responded, I said all of that, but Rava lo amri. But I didn't say it in the name of Rava. So your only mistake is the attribution, but it's not in the Ikar Halacha. So two versions of how he responded. Either he said you got the actual halacha wrong, or you got the attribution wrong. Ravina Ravacha Breid Rava Aviasvi Kamed Ravashi. Ravina Ravacha Breid Rava were sitting in front of Ravashi. Aisu Sakon Kamed Ravashi Lebadka. So they brought a knife to Ravashi to check. So Amalei the Ravacha Breid Rava. So Ravashi said to Ravacha Breid Rava, Bitka, to check the knife. So Badka Atufra v'abisra, he checked it by running along his fingernail and the flesh of his finger. V'atlasa ruchasa, and he checked all three sides. So Amalei Yashar, he said, good job, chazak v'yamatz, excellent. V'cheinam Rav Kahana, and that's what Rav Kahana said also, that's the way that a person is supposed to check a knife, so you did it exactly the way you're supposed to do it, everything is good. Rav Yemar Amar, atufra v'abisra tzricha, atlasa ruchasa lel tzricha, right? Well, similar to what we said before, that maybe you do need to check bisra v'atufra, Gufra. You do need to check running it along your fingernail and running it along the flesh, but you do not need to check Atlas Ruchasa on all three sides of the knife, the two sides and the edge. And the raya that it needs a sakin requires a bedika on the edge of a knife and does not require a bedika on the sides of the knife. Milo Amar Abizera, Amar Shmuel, Libein Sakin V'Shachatba Shchita Sukshera. That if you heat up the knife and then you shecht with it, the shchita is going to be kosher. And we're not choshesh that it's the heat of the knife that's killing the animal. We assume that it's the sharpness of the knife that's killing the animal, which is good. That means it's a proper shchita. Shechiduda kodem lelibuna. The sharpness will make its impact prior to the heat making its impact, and therefore it's shechted properly. The behemah is not a trefa. But for kashalan, we asked ha'ikat studin. What about the sides of the knife that are very hot? So that's going to burn the simanim. Meaning, you're right. The sharp edge of the knife may slice before the heat of the edge of the knife. But what about the fact that the sides of the knife are also really hot, and they'll burn through the simanim before you shechted rova simanim? V'aminan beis hashchita meravach ravach. And how did we answer? We said, oh no. As you're slicing, the simanim spread apart, and therefore they're not going to touch the sides of the knife. So the sides of the knife, key over here is sides of the knife play no role in the shechita. They don't do anything in the shechita. If the sides of the knife play no role in the shechita, then they can have pegimos on them because it's irrelevant to the shechita. It's only the chitut of the knife. It's only the sharp edge of the knife that actually is doing anything when it comes to the shechita, and therefore that's the only part that needs to be checked for pegimos. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav Katina. Everyone have a good day and a good chedesh.